We're going to look at a whole lot of scripture. You can listen or you can turn with me as you like, or you can make notes and look up things later, but we're going to start out in Matthew chapter 24. And we're looking at the second coming of Christ. I remind you that the second coming deals with, first of all, what we're looking for as Christians of this age and time is the rapture, for Christ to come in the clouds and call us to heaven to be with Him forevermore. It'll be a deliverance before the great hour of tribulation that will come upon the earth called the tribulation period. And we know the tribulation is divided up into 2 3.5-year specific time periods, where the last 3.5 years, the wrath of God will be poured out on this earth. It'll be a time of judgment. It'll be an awful time for anyone to be here. Many will not survive the many things that will happen. Wars and cataclysmic things from God coming down upon the earth. But we have the blessing that we're going to be in heaven with the Lord when that's taking place here on the earth. But as we get closer to the time for the Lord to take us, we are closer to the end of the age. And as we get closer to the end of the age, some of these warnings about deception and how men will be affect us as well. We see these things taking place even in our time. Matthew 24 and verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming? Now note, this is especially important in understanding chapter 24, and the end of the world. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am of Christ, and shall deceive many. And then he begins to list many of the things that will happen and that men will begin to hear of happening around the world in those latter days before the end of the world. Now, in the second coming, we are told a lot of things in Scripture. 2 Peter 3:3 says that in the last days there'll be scoffers that will say, Where is the promise of His coming? People say that, you know, you've always been talking about the coming of the Lord and the coming of the Lord. You know, where is it? And they'll be scoffing about the coming of the Lord because it has not yet happened. And they'll say things like Peter said, they'll say, things have continued just like they have always been from the beginning of time. And he said, if they believe that, they're willfully ignorant. Because of the Genesis flood, God has poured out His wrath in the past, and He will pour out His wrath in the future in a similar fashion, though instead of by water, it's going to be by fire. In Timothy, let's look at 1 and 2 Timothy for a moment. 1 Timothy 4. And verse 1. Here's a warning that Paul wrote to Timothy. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. So part of that deception, part of that warning about men deceiving men with religion, men deceiving men with the claims of Christ. In 2 Timothy, if you go over another book, in chapter 3, verse 1, 2 Timothy 3:1, This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. There's religion without a relationship with God. There's always been religion. There'll always be religion, even in the very end times. But it'll be religion that will be void of the truth and void of the Spirit of God. Deception is the warning. mystery of iniquity in 2 Thessalonians 2:7, Paul warned of Thessalonica that in the last days, he said, the mystery of iniquity is already at work. Only the Holy Spirit is restraining it until the appointed hour when God will allow those things to take place. Now, as disciples, Jesus, concerning the end times and the sign of His coming back to the earth, the coming of Christ back to the earth will happen at the end of the tribulation, where He'll come and fight the battle of Armageddon, and He'll set up His kingdom. He'll judge the nations before they can enter into His kingdom. But we're going to be with the Lord from the time He comes in the clouds to take us to heaven. And the Scripture says, thus shall we ever be with the Lord. So we're going to be with the Lord when the tribulation is going on down here on earth. But then we're coming back down here with the Lord. He's coming back, and there will be many deceptive things to deceive men about His return, especially about the end times related to the coming of the Lord back to this earth. Mark said in chapter 13, verse 5 and 6, many will come in Jesus' name and deceive many. He warns in Matthew 24, in verse number 11, that there will be many false prophets that will arise and deceive many. In Matthew 24 and verse 23, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if were possible they should deceive the very elect. Satan will be allowed to use his power. The Antichrist, the beast, the false prophet, there will be power. They will deceive many. One of the things the Bible says in Revelation that they will call down fire out of heaven. Now, who was it that called down fire out of heaven in the Old Testament? Elijah. And who is it that the Jewish nation is looking for to come back before the end? They're looking for Elijah. And so it'd be very easy for them to deceive the Jewish people with the working of miracles and with false religion and deception. It's not just, it's not that we stand so much better off than they do in wisdom or anything, because if we were going to be here during the tribulation, we'd face the danger of deception as well. But thanks be to God, He's going to deliver us before that time comes. Now, the false prophets are going to have power to deceive. There's big money in religion, and many live today as multimillionaires off of the poverty of people living off a fixed income who they deceive into sending them money, thinking that it's going to give them some special privilege or special blessing or some insight to God that they couldn't have on their own, or that there's no other way for them to find it except by sending them money. Now, I don't know whether it's truth or not. You know, you see a lot of stuff on Facebook. You don't know whether to believe it or not. There's a lot of stuff that's posted on there by people that some good godly people post on there when it's found out to be false to let you know this was not true. And I appreciate that if you ever do that. But I saw that Benny Hinn had posted that he was giving up on prosperity theology. And I hope he is. I hope he's seen through it for sure, because he's been one of the chief proponents of it ever since the wave of that stuff got going in America. The teaching that if you send him $1,000, then God's obligated to make you healthy, wealthy, and wise and things of that nature, which the Bible just doesn't teach at all. False teachers use Scripture, and they teach a little bit of truth, and then they carry that truth to an extreme that God's Word doesn't teach. God teaches, if you give to Him, He will give back to you. You can't outgive God. If you give to God in a sacrificial manner, God will give back to you. He'll press down and shake it together till your bag is running over. That doesn't mean there's going to be checks in the mailbox, or you're going to win the lottery, or anything like that. It may mean you're going to have good health. You won't spend money on doctors. Your shoes won't wear out. Your clothes don't wear out. The tires on your car don't wear out. Your automobile don't wear out. God can bless you in many ways other than a check in the mail. Now, it'd be wonderful if God sent checks in the mail. I could have used one a time or two, you know. But I can promise you, after starting this church from scratch by working a job without any kind of support from anyone, for 40 years now, and for the time where we put ourselves through college, I can promise you God has supplied our every need. We weren't wealthy people then. We're not wealthy people now. My family weren't people of money. No one helped us going through college except God. God let our little bit of money be stretched to meet the need, and we were faithful to give to God, and He was faithful to bless us and supply all of our needs. And He can do that. False teachers use deception to teach people, and people by nature, we're all a little bit greedy, we're all a little bit lustful for desire. I mean, we'd all like to win the Reader's Digest sweepstakes. You know, we can just think what we'd do with those millions of dollars, you know. And I know some of y'all go off somewhere, you go to Gatlinburg, and you look around, you don't see the preacher anywhere, you don't see any Christians, you know, and you go over and put about 20 bucks in one of them quarter things or something, you know, hoping you're going to win something real big, you know. Or you get out of town, out of state, and you buy a lottery ticket, you know, and you turn it in hoping you're going to win $1 million and all. You know, we got that imagination. What would I do if I did get rich, if something happened, and I had a lot of money all of a sudden? Well, that's kind of human nature is the problem. And Satan can use that to lure people into being deceived very easily. The people who are after a get-rich-quick scheme are prey to con artists who can lead you astray. I'm angry at con artists that use the telephone and the internet to deceive elderly people or someone who's a little simple-minded or something. And maybe they got a few bucks in their retirement, and they deceive them into getting that money from them. We've had a couple of members that's been called before, and they put a young person on the phone and say it's their grandson, and they're in jail, and if they don't get $6,000 right now to the police department, and here's the number that you text to, you know, and all this kind of thing. And I mean, they have deceived person after person after person like that, and when it's all a scam. And sadly, it isn't just con artists. There's a lot in religion that use scams as well. Many people are ignorant of Bible truth, so they're much more easily deceived. Discernment to know right and wrong and know the Word of God comes only by the study of the Word of God. There's no quick way to grow in spiritual maturity. There's no quick way to have a knowledge of the Bible. It takes time and energy and reading and studying and looking up words in the Greek and Hebrew dictionaries. And you can use commentaries if you know who you're reading after and you're assured of who's teaching you. But my point is, it takes a long time to grow in spiritual maturity. There's no quick fix to that. But it takes study to be able to discern the things of God. If you want to turn with me, I'm going to look at Romans chapter 16. Romans 16 and verse 17. 16:17 of Romans. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. So many people can be deceived even by the use of Scripture. In 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 3, Paul wrote, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with them. So there's the danger of deception about the last days, about the end times, about the coming of the end of the world. In Colossians 2, he said men could beguile you with enticing words, and that we are to beware lest any man spoil you, meaning take you captive through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men. So there's all these scriptures that deal with the deception centered around the Lord, the Word of God, and the end times. Secondly, Israel sank to a low condition in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 23, in the time of Josiah. And Josiah was a godly king, and Josiah was a young man. He became a king, and he began to seek the Lord. And he sought to repair the damage of the temple. The temple was so damaged, they hadn't been using it. The Word of God hadn't been read. They were not worshiping the Lord. They were worshiping idols. And so Josiah, as a young king, began to make changes in this. He had to remove idols of Baal from within the very temple of God. They had set up idols in the temple, and he removed them. In their repair of the temple, they found a copy of the Word of God. And the servant read it to him, and he tore his garment when he heard the Word of God and saw how Israel was living compared to what God's Word says. And he caused the Bible to be read to all the elders and to be read to the nation. And he caused the people to repent of sin and turn to God and believe the Scriptures and put these things into practice in their life. How in the world could the nation of Israel, who saw all of the miracles and provision of God, turn that far away from God in just a generation of time? In the same way America is turning away from God as we pass from one generation to another. He removed the idolatrous priests and the high places. Israel in Jeremiah's day wanted to kill him because he simply told them what God had said for him to say to them, to cooperate with the captivity in Babylon because it was going to be for 70 years for the nation of Israel's punishment to them. And after the 70 years, they'd be released to go back and rebuild the temple and be restored with the Lord. But the people didn't want to hear that, and they accused Jeremiah of lying and being a false prophet, and so they wanted to kill him. They wanted to kill him for giving them God's word. There are people today that would like to kill Christians simply because we preach the Bible. We tell them what God has said. And it's not like we're running around with a theological pistol trying to shoot everybody who we think something's wrong in their life. It's the national stand that's taking place that we must stand against when it is contrary to the Word of God. How can people be so easily deceived and so vastly deceived? Well, we see churches today that now embrace homosexuality and adultery and priests who are pedophiles and things of that nature. That's so contrary to the Word of God. You can't wrap, I don't care if you put a turned around collar in a church building around it, my friend. You can't make God go along with something like that. We think it can't happen here in America, but we see America being overrun with Islam today. Mr. Obama brought 70,000 Somali Islam crowd to Minneapolis, Minnesota, and that's where that, however you pronounce her name, the rag wearing around her head woman in the Congress, you know, that hates Jews and hates Christians and hates America, and that's how she got elected, because Mr. Obama brought that crowd over here and they hate America. They didn't become Americans. They didn't put their hand on the Bible and say they'd uphold the Constitution of the United States. They put their hand on the Quran. And Islamists are taught that it's okay to lie to infidels. And as far as they're concerned, you and I are infidels. And they can lie to us all they want to. And they're not doing anything wrong. They also can be pedophiles to the children of infidels. And that's taking place all over America today too. Now, Paul wrote to Timothy to avoid foolish talk, foolish questions, and things that gender strife. He said, as a Christian, we're to be gentle and patient and teaching in meekness, instructing those who oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them the acknowledgement of the truth to recover themselves out of the snare of the devil where they're taken captive by him at his will. 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 26. Thirdly, Satan is always behind all false teaching. Revelation 12:9 tells us he is a deceiver. John 8, verse 44, Jesus said he was a liar and a murderer, and he abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. Satan uses men who are greedy and willing to yield to the ways of Satan. Look at 2 Corinthians, if you want to, in chapter 11 and verse 13. Paul, writing to Corinth, warned them about the problems of false teachers. He said in chapter 11, verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So Satan transforms himself to deceive men, and he uses men transformed as ministers of truth to deceive people as well. He tells men what they want to hear, and that's a characteristic problem in the age in which we live, coming toward the end times, is that people will have itching ears. They will want a teacher who will tell them what they want to hear rather than what saith the Word of God. And Satan is the serpent of the Garden of Eden. A serpent's very cunning. If you've ever seen on the National Geographic or something of that nature, a serpent that attacks an animal and it rises up at that animal and it looks in its eyes and it's flickering that old nasty tongue it's got. That tongue is how they feel heat and that sort of thing. And it mesmerizes that animal, and then bam, it strikes and eats it, or strikes it with the venom and kills it. And Satan is cunning like that. He disputes God's truths. He undermines God's authority. He sows doubt and disbelief in the minds of those who listen to him. God's goodness is questioned in people. Jesus warned of wars and rumors of wars in Matthew 24, verse 6 through 8. He warned that in the last days, after we're gone to heaven to be with the Lord, there's on this earth there's going to come famines and pestilence and earthquakes. And all of these are the beginning of sorrows, the Scripture says. Now, men will be persecuted and be offended and will betray one another and hate one another because of religion. There'll be devastation and deception. Men have been recording earthquakes and famines and all these things for a lot of years. In the 15th century, there was 147 earthquakes. In the 17th century, 378. In the 19th century, 2,119 earthquakes across the world. They are growing in power and growing in the number of those that takes place. In the tribulation period, in the latter 3.5 years, God will send cataclysmic things in the heavens. There's going to be meteorites fall to the earth, and the sea is going to be turned to blood, and the flesh in the sea is going to die, and mount islands will be moved out of their locations, and the change that's going to take place in that day will bring about great amounts of death like man has never known. The tribulation will have great devastation. Aren't you glad you're saved and you don't have to go through the tribulation period? I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad we have that promise. Over in 1 Timothy 4, and I'll finish up with this for tonight. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. We read verse 1 and 2, how the Spirit speaks of in the last days, how there will be people turning away from truth and giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. He said they'll speak lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. You ought to underline it in your Bible, and you ought to tell people it's okay to eat bacon. It's okay to eat pork chops. As long as you give thanks, God said it, I believe it. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Look over at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. This know also, in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And I read this to you earlier. The professing church will turn away from the truth in the tribulation. All the saved of the earth are going to heaven to be with the Lord when he comes in the rapture. That's going to leave the unsaved. Now, God will raise up two witnesses. He'll raise up 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. He'll even, before the very end, send an angel through the heavens declaring the gospel of Christ in that day. So God's not going to leave the earth without a witness, but all the saved are going to be gone in the rapture, and so in the tribulation, it is going to be harder and harder for men to be taught truth and to be able to believe someone with so much deception going on. We're going to be removed at the rapture. Then there's going to be the revelation of Antichrist, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And verse 7 and 8. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth or restrains will let or restrain until he be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The return of Jesus Christ. Verse 13 and 14, we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast, hold the traditions which you've been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. We give that reminder to stand fast. The Lord is coming. He's going to take us to heaven. We're going to rejoice that we live for the Lord, that we're looking for his coming, that we're ready to leave this world behind, because this world is going to go through an awful deception and judgment and punishment and great change. The things that men hold dearest today, material wealth and material possessions, are going to leave behind a great big pile of ashes. You know, I've been telling y'all for 40 years, things rust, bust, and collect dust. And we're going to heaven where our inheritance is reserved and it will never fade away. So let's work toward what we have with the Lord and be looking for his coming. Let's stand together, please. Father, bless the invitation, we pray, as we think for a moment or two about how you've dealt with us. If there's anyone here tonight that's not sure they're saved, I pray you'd help them to come and receive the Lord. I pray that you'll help your people to be strong in the faith, stand fast in the truth and the righteousness of God, And Lord, help us all to have that reminder that you're coming again. And Lord, if we're going to be a witness and reach some of our friends and loved ones who don't know the Lord, we need to be doing it now because we don't know how much time we've got left. So help us to be aware of the urgency of the hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Miss Gwen will play through a verse of an invitational hymn. If you want to come for prayer, you can do that. Maybe you got loved ones that are lost you want to come pray for.